Fastline Auctions, the ultimate destination for online farm equipment auctions. Looking to list equipment? Fastline Auctions knows farmers, and farmers have trusted Fastline for their equipment needs for over 45 years. With unmatched digital reach and direct-to-farmer catalogs, they can find the right buyer for your equipment. Not to mention, they have the industry's lowest commission rates. If you're looking for equipment to buy, you can bid with confidence. No buyer premiums, no reserves, just integrity. Fastline Auctions, your trusted platform for hassle-free, cost-effective farm equipment auctions. Visit Fastline.com for more information. That's Fastline.com. Today's Ag Spotlight episode is sponsored by Energrow. Energrow's oilseed pressing system helps farmers crush their feed costs. The easy way to make fresh, homegrown, high-quality meal plus expeller-pressed oil right on the farm. The fully automated turnkey Crush Pro is easy to set up and run 24/7. To learn more, go to energrow.ca. Hi, and welcome to the North American Ag Spotlight. I'm Chrissy Wozniak. Joining me today is a man whose company has been helping animals and people too with natural and herbal creams and ointments for over 35 years. And I can tell you from experience, he's a great farm show booth neighbor too. From Mabel, Minnesota, I'd like to welcome Gary Stewart of Stewart Laboratories. Welcome, Gary, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Chrissy.
So first of all, tell me a bit about your background and how you started your company.
I had a degree in agriculture from the University of Minnesota and was spending time as a dairy consultant. Had a friend who developed an udder ointment for dairy cattle. He was an inventor, he was a genius, but he couldn't balance a checkbook. He had no business acumen. So I started making that for him and paying royalties. And that was the beginning of the company.
Wow. When was that?
1982.
Wow.
And I started in an apartment kitchen in Owatonna, Minnesota.
Really? That's cool. And then how did you grow into what you are today?
Well, of course, we had a couple of limiting factors at that time. Number one, I didn't have any money and I had a lot of ignorance. I really didn't know what I was doing. But we discovered that we had a formula that was really effective. So we kept working, we kept talking to people, selling product as we could. And over time, we had to find other ways to finance the business till we got rolling, took on other products that we sold. And that went on for a number of years until the business itself became a real business.
Wow. So what's unique about your product?
The first product we had was an udder ointment or a teat cream. Couple of things. One, it was bactericidal. And two, it stimulated healing. That combination doesn't really exist to any extent in the industry, because if a product is bactericidal, it usually inhibits healing. So we had a product that was really effective, especially for a situation like dairy cattle udders. They're never really clean. It's just kind of a nasty environment most of the time. And to get something to work on a wound in that situation is tough. And we had something that did.
That's so cool. And so, like you said, your products are largely sold into the dairy industry, right?
That's right. In terms of our veterinary products, they're essentially for dairy cattle. We do see some overlap with the equine market. They use the wound products on horses also.
I see. Yeah. And so what do you have for teat injuries or frostbite?
Well, the number one product is a product called Teat Heal. And I'll bring that up for you. It's a sticky cream. So when you put it on the teat or the udder, it sticks. Normally, you'll see that it's there at the next milking. That's our prime product for frozen teats, injured teats, that type of thing. This is an example of a cow that she froze a couple of her teats, actually. She laid on the ice. The top pitcher is a before pitcher. No, most people wouldn't expect to save those teats on that cow, especially the one on the viewer's right. But below that, we have a picture of that cow on her second lactation. So she healed up. She wasn't even a high cell count in that next lactation. The one teat that really was affected ended up having a lighter quarter. But beyond that, she was pretty trouble-free. One of the advantages of that product is, in addition to being bactericidal and stimulating healing, it also reduces the pain dramatically on those teats when you put it on. So we recommend that people, if they've got a very sensitive teat, to put the product on before they milk them because of the anesthetic properties. Now, technically, they should discard the milk from that quarter since they're putting this product on the teat before they milk them. But beyond that, there's nothing in the product that shows up in a test in terms of antibiotics or anything like that. The active antiseptic in this product is a product called propolis. We extract it from a rosin that we find in beehives. Really? It's bactericidal, it's fungicidal, and it's antiviral. And it's a non-traditional product, so it shows up on no test in the milk as a milk residue.
Wow. And what do you recommend for udder sores?
For udder sores, the teat heal will work, but, and here we have a couple examples of udder sores. Flew by them, but the main product that we sell for udder sores is a product called Wound Spray. We've got another product that you see there that's called Wound Barrier. Either one of those are very effective. The Wound Spray is easier to use, and consequently, we just sell a lot more of it. Either of those products works. This is an example of an udder sore. Wow. That was larger than my hand. So it was probably was close to 7 inches, 8 inches across. Those kind of sores are very deep. It takes a minimum of 6 weeks to replace skin on a cow. So you're looking at multiple weeks. This one is really deep. I think we worked on this one for probably 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
Normally, when you start out with a sore like this, as it appears on the left, you'll get drainage and a fair amount of necrosis, and they stink. Normally, we can stop the smell, which is the result of the necrosis, in about a week's time.
That's really amazing. And what do you have for utter edema and mastitis?
Utter edema, we've got a couple of products. We've got a spray product called Utter Green, and then we've also got a rub-on product, which is called Utter Green Rub. Either one of them work. We sell more of the spray just because it's so much easier to use.
That makes sense. So you said before there's no residue. Does that mean that you don't have to discard milk when using the products?
That's right. And the Utter Green works very well on edema. It's also pretty effective at reducing the mild mastitis cases. So again, if they get after these quarters at the first sign of inflammation, many times they can prevent a full-blown case of mastitis, and they can do it without discarding milk.
Incredible. And you gave me some pain cream for my feet when we were at World Dairy back in October. My feet were killing me, but it worked so great. So do you often sell to humans, or was I just a test case?
Yeah, I gave it to you because I wanted to see if it really worked. I'm kidding. actually, the pain relief product that I gave you was developed for horses.
Wow.
And particularly race horses. We found out right away that it works on people. Mm-hmm. So we kind of forgot about the race horses and started marketing that for people. It's very similar to the other edema product. It's anti-inflammatory. It stimulates circulation. And that's actually our biggest single seller in the whole product line.
Wow.
We do a fair amount of business in the veterinary line. But anybody that's a farm kid realizes that if something works in the barn, it probably ends up in the house. Yeah. So the teat heel ended up also as a wound cream for people. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I had a friend that was a dairy farmer, and he was using the teat heel on his heels, cracked heels. And he told me one day that that was the only thing that worked. Now, if you notice, that teat heel is yellow, and it's also very sticky. And he said, but can't you get something that's not so ugly to use on my feet? And his wife was standing there, and she said, yeah, I'm sick of this yellow stuff on my sheets. But she didn't say stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of what motivated me to develop a human product. So we started trying to figure out how we could make a foot cream that wouldn't be so ugly and was a nice vanishing cream. And we did that. We've got a product labeled foot cream. So we went from there, and then the horse product came up for pain. And then we developed what we call pain formula, which is the product I gave you. It doesn't burn, doesn't smell, and it has a pretty dramatic effect on pain, as you found out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. So for the, you said you started it kind of with horses. So is it like I've used absorbing products on my horses. Is it like, does it do the kind of the same thing?
It's different. I don't know the actives in absorbing, mm-hmm. but you got a pretty strong smell with that, I believe. And I believe it gives you some heat on the surface mm-hmm. if you use it on yourself. Ours doesn't create heat and it doesn't burn. Mm-hmm. And of course, you don't have the Bengay smell with it.
Yeah.
So you can put it on and people still sit by you.
That's it. That's what I really liked about the pain cream is nobody knew I was in pain. Nobody could smell me.
The other advantage of that pain relief product is, like all of our products, it stimulates healing mm-hmm. at the surface and the soft tissue. So over a period of time, you not only get pain relief, but you'll get some healing on the joints.
Wow.
And the muscles, the pulled tendons, that kind of thing.
That's cool. So what about pets? Can you use it on cats and dogs too?
Yes. And if people do it, we don't hear about it very often. I always think it's so messy putting it on because of the hair coat.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah. So I guess changing tracks a little bit, as I mentioned before, you were at, World Dairy Expo. So how did you find the show in this post-pandemic world?
It was a good show. I think attendance was down probably 25%. I don't know what your assessment was, but we've been going there for 20 plus years. And another dramatic difference was the absence of the international visitors.
Yeah.
I bet we had less than 10% of the traditional number of international visitors. So it was slower, but it was still a good show. Everybody was so glad to get out. And as you noticed, most people were ignoring the mask rule in Madison.
Yeah. 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 I definitely would have to agree with your assessment of the show. We're neighbors, so that's not too surprising. So are you going to be at any upcoming farm shows?
We do. We do one other dairy show. It's the Central Plains Dairy Expo in Sioux Falls. I think that's probably the last weekend in March. Other than that, we don't have any more planned. And, you know, we'd like to do more, but we'll probably see what the climate is.
Right. Yeah.
In terms of COVID and so forth.
For sure. So, you know, we've, as you know, we've been living in a crazy world the last few years. Is there anything that you're seeing in the dairy industry lately in terms of moving forward into the future?
I mean, obviously, the dairies are getting bigger and fewer in number. Is that going to change? It doesn't seem like it. I think it's driven by very, you know, tight margins. And all of us hope that that changes. I don't have the answer that would make it change. I think the federal marketing rules are very complicated. And I asked the chairman of the board of a major milk co-op about that one day. I said, will you explain that to me? He said, there's only 10 people that understand that, and none of them will tell you. So it's just so complicated. And I really never found out if he understood it. But I suspect the federal marketing orders are a problem, but it never gets addressed. And I would sure like to hear from somebody how they work.
Yeah, that's a good point. And what do you think producers should be paying attention to as we approach the new year? Is there any advice you'd give farmers?
I'm not a dairy consultant. It's just a tough environment. You know, I think they got to watch their margins and control their debt. Seen any number of farmers go belly up over the years, and it always has something to do with debt levels. And beyond that, I don't know how you operate without debt.
Right. That is a good point.
So how's that for a non-answer?
I like it. It's true. And people don't often say that because the farmer needs debt, but too much and you're done. So that is a really good point. So where can people find you?
We're on the internet. Mm-hmm. www.stewartlabs.com. We also do a fair amount of business by phone. We've got an 800 number that you'll post. Or they can just order. They can order online or call us.
That's good.
On the dairy side, we do sell a fair amount of product through distributors and veterinary outlets. So often they'll see our products on the store shelves. And I think if they Google Utter Sores, we come up pretty quick in the search.
Very good. Good marketing then. So I have one last question for you. What gets you out of bed in the morning? What are you here to accomplish?
I have to go to work. We want to make a difference. We like to sell products that work. So we spend some time trying to develop new products, but most of our effort is on marketing the ones that we have and getting the story out. And it's more difficult than it was a few years ago. Print advertising doesn't work very well. And some of the digital stuff is really difficult. I know that I dump a minimum of 100 emails a day without opening them. And I think probably every customer that I want to reach is doing the same. People are desensitized to sales pitches. So we depend a whole lot on our customers telling other customers that the products work.
Yeah, great point. And you couldn't be more right. We are just so bombarded with crap all day long, right? That we do become completely desensitized, and you've got to be a little bit more creative these days, right?
And I mean, I've been a salesman all my life, and I recognize that very few people believe salesmen much. Mm-hmm. And probably don't even like a lot of us. So, you know, in marketing products, that's a real barrier. And I think it's gotten a little bit higher in the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Gary. And thanks to everyone who's watching or listening. If you want more information on Stewart Lab products, the links are provided in the show notes. Don't forget to subscribe to North American Ag Spotlight on YouTube or Rumble channels. And the podcast is available on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks so much and have a great day.
Thanks, Chrissy.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Ag Spotlight episode, where we put the spotlight on people and companies doing great things for the agricultural industry. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, or on your favorite podcasting platform, and give us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on YouTube and Rumble to see the video version of Ag Spotlight. Also, head on over to northamericanag.com to subscribe to our Industry Connect update newsletter. If you're interested in advertising opportunities, email us at connect@northamericanag.com. Thanks for listening.